Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name's Melissa, and my project is called Lady Lazarus.
Okay, so we've gotten something opened right here. When you really introduce yourself to fans, do you do it the way you just did, or are you Lady Lazarus?
Great question. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I was wondering if you would ask me that. And no, I'm Melissa. I'm Melissa, and my project is Lady Lazarus.
So it's a project. So define a project. Is that, because you've done this now, this will be the third recording. Does that mean that by the fifth, you might be Mr. Smith?
No. Part of why I called myself Lady Lazarus is I wanted to elevate the project, and I also was really influenced by a lot of musicians growing up who also did the same thing. Bill Callahan was one of my influences. Sure. You said we're not to talk about influences, but I can't.
No. I said I'm not going to ask you. No, you'll undoubtedly talk about them. I said I'm not going to ask about them.
Yeah. So some of my favorites that I looked up to, you know, Bill Callahan was Smog before, and also Cat Power was a big influence for me. I mean, maybe part of it is because my name is Melissa Sweat, and maybe that's not.
You don't want to be confused with Keith Sweat.
Yeah, that's not exactly the.
You're gonna be a soul singer or hip hop. Melissa Sweat is ready to go, or you're ready for aerobics.
Exactly. So you know, it really is a holistic, you know, art and music project. I mean, we were talking just now about being polycreative, and that's something that's been with me, you know, all my life, really. So this is, you know, one other outlet for my creativity. But no, I mean, I don't think I will ever transform into, you know, a Lady Gaga-esque persona. I just don't think that's me. But at the same time, I feel that the name is really powerful and speaks really well to the project.
So what is something that you've either never been asked or something you want people to know before we kind of go in a little deeper?
Something that I don't think has been talked about that much in interviews, and I feel like I've just sort of touched the surface of it. When I say it's a holistic project, it's more than that. It's a spiritual project for me. I mean, I'm sure this is the same for many songwriters who write, you know, from their own experiences, as opposed to, you know, songwriters who sort of tell externalized stories. But I feel like the project is, you know, an adventure, really, and that in embarking on this process many years ago when I was 25, it was like starting my own mythology and embarking on a hero's journey. And one thing that I think we all do this in our lives. But one thing that I didn't think about this when I started it, but I got into his work later, is Joseph Campbell and The Power of Myth. And I started really realizing that, you know, we're all really on the hero's journey. That's the arc of the human journey, really. And so I feel like I embrace that into the project. And I feel like that would be kind of a through line. If you were to really analyze the songs and look at an arc, you know, it's a really personal, a tale of my journey.
So one of the things that you said about this part of the journey, what's about to come up, the new record, was that you wanted the music to be out there more, you know, that you used to shy away from glossy press and all of that. And, you know, shoots and sessions and all of that goop. What is that sea change that magically happened? Because you've been making records for a while. This is not a brand new project.
So I wouldn't characterize it as a sea change, because it's been, you know, really an evolution and slow growth. And with my project, everything really comes from the music for me. And so the music and it tells me really kind of where to go. And when I was starting out, I think also because I had seen musicians like Mount Erie who were kind of removed in the photograph. They were, you know, he was among the Pacific Northwest mountains. And so I think because the music project wasn't totally a part of my life fully, and I was just starting out, and I didn't feel even like I was a bona fide musician, that I think to put my person, my personal self out there in the visuals, I wasn't quite ready for that. And there was also a lot more, you know, mystery and murkiness in the sound at that time too. And, you know, it sounds kind of strange, but even though we all see all the time that, you know, pop stars put out the glossy photos, and I still was putting great efforts into getting my music out there. And I always have been from the start. But yeah, in terms of that visual side and putting myself out there, I didn't do that as much, but I was always willing to, you know, talk about the project and share as much as I could. And then I think, you know, the last album was sort of a middle period, a little change where I did want to start coming forward, and I was more comfortable with that. I put myself into the music videos, and I felt that, you know, the music also was pushing that. And partly what's happening now is that, you know, even though I would never characterize my music as pop, it's like I feel like I'm approaching pop and traditional forms a lot more than I have on past albums. But I feel like I've always been doing that. Some of the melodies are very catchy. They're very pop-like. And, again, it was, you know, I tie it with the music, but I feel like the music kind of led me there. And so I felt, you know, that I was more ready to do that. And also that I just really believed in these songs and I wanted them to be heard. So you said, you know, you were contacted by my PR team. I wanted to hire the big guns because I really wanted these songs to be heard. You know, I hired one of the best PR agencies for music that I could possibly afford. It's still crazy to me that I would do that. It's crazy. But at the same time, you know, this is my life. This is what I love. And I would be, if I were an 80-year-old woman looking back at my life, and if I didn't do this, I would be very upset because it's all there. You know, the music is all there. I love it. And I think people would like to hear it. And, you know, it is a wild thing to do, but I think you have to take those risks in life or else it's not worth it.
So tell me about the people that help you put the music together.
Sure. So with this album, as with all my stuff, I'm the songwriter. So really it starts from that very intimate, you know, space where I'm just composing at home. And, you know, really what you hear is the groundwork, that the skeleton of the song. I mean, so that's why with the past records, I really wanted to keep it bare, because I like that. I love that when I listen.
But this is more lush. We've got ourselves some strings. Yeah. We've got ourselves some stuff. But it's a good sounding record.
But thank you.
Not that the others weren't. I'm just saying, yes, that this is a bigger record.
It really is. It really is. However, it's really important for that minimalism to still be there. The other people that I worked with on this record, I got very lucky. My boyfriend was running a weekly Frisbee game in Venice, and he had a friend who knew a producer, and I made friends with this friend, and I put the call out on Facebook, hey, I need a producer in LA, does anyone know anyone? And the fellow who had the producer friend said, you know, I have this friend, John Keller. And so I looked him up, and John is amazing. He's so sort of old school LA. He worked for, I think, Geffen, and was like a songwriter there. He's written songs for Al Green and Winona Judd and all these amazing people. And he does producing as well. And he was just absolutely wonderful. I could not sing more praises about John. There was, you know, back and forth, and John encouraged me, you know, on one song, because he's a great songwriter. He encouraged me on Train Song to try something. But in terms of the songwriting, he didn't really, you know, meddle with that at all. And he was just completely supportive. We had a little bit of some roadblocks or bumps in the road at the start. You know, it was great because I've been in, you know, studios. I've worked with producers. It's fine for me to say what I want, and so I was able to get what I want, and we had a really great relationship. Some of the other people on the record, my boyfriend sings with me on Wildflowers, and he was quite a big inspiration for the album in general. Gary Malaper, I don't know if you know Gary Malaper, but he is he down there? Yeah, so he did the percussion work, and you know he's played for everybody. He famously recorded on Van Morrison's played on Van Morrison's Moon Dance, and that's how John. I mean, come on. I mean,
yeah, you're like, oh my gosh,
mind blown. And John, who knows everyone, knew him and right. Got him. Gary was very generous with his time and just nailed it out. We got him on a few tracks, and he did a fantastic job. And I'm so happy to have percussion from Gary. But it's also the first time I had percussion on any of my songs, really. But that was fantastic. We went to his house, and he had gold records all over the walls.
In the world we live in today, where people say, well, you know, this doesn't fit into this, and this doesn't fit into this, and well, where do we put this, and where do we put that, right?
Right.
Now, for me, it's always been about the songs. If it's a great song, it doesn't matter whether it's loud, it's quiet, it's played on a piano, it's played on a glockenspiel, or it's played on dishes. Right. If it's a great song, it's all good. Right?
Well, I've always loved college radio, so I'd love to be in heavy rotation on some college radio stations, that's for sure. I would love for that to happen. Obviously, my music isn't that commercial, but...
But is it or is it? And there's an interesting definition, because if somebody heard Kate Bush and heard Running Up That Hill, right? Or somebody heard Basha... Time and Tide. I'm not comparing, but I'm saying these are not tracks that ever fit into any particular place. So tell me why you don't think your music is commercial.
Or what about Tom Waits too? I think it's not traditionally commercial, but I sure think it could be out there. My hope is that what I'm doing uniquely in my corner, my creative space, which I try to keep very original. I try to, I that's why I admire Tom Waits so much. I feel like he's such a singular artist, and that's all I'm trying to do. So if I can, you know, be recognized for that, that would be fantastic. What that translates into in terms of, you know, commercial success or what that would look like in my world, I'm not sure. But right now things are really lovely with the press and the support. And, you know, I at the end of the day, I want people to love the music, and hopefully more people will find it.
So what I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread on the outside, and then songs by other artists in between.